Okay. So we left off in our discussion about Maaseh Shabbos. Let's just read the Gemara again. Let's make sure we're all on the same page over here. So Tani Tana Kamei de Rav, for a period on Tezvav and Aleph. Bryce was taught in the name of Rav, and Mavashel B'Shabbos B'Shoge Yoichal B'Mezid Lo Yoichal. That was the opinion of Rebbeir. So he taught like the opinion of Rebbeir that if you cooked B'Shoge on Shabbos, you could eat it on Shabbos itself. Of course, according to Behuda, you have to wait till Monday Shabbos, and according to B'Yochanan Sandler, you even have to wait. How was the B'Yochanan Sandler different? They were more different in terms of the Mezid, right? How was the B'Yochanan Sandler different? He can never eat it. Yeah, he can never eat it. So that was the three sheets. If you cook b'shoyge according to a mayor, you can have it on Shabbos. According to a Yehuda, you can have Matzah Shabbos. According to a Yehuda, the person who did it can never have it. So the brass over here was taught like a mayor. The mezid lo yochel. Mashtik lo Rav. Rav silenced the one who was teaching it. My time of Mashtikle, why did he silence him? Igay Mishum de Svega Kribi Huda, if you say he passed on Kribi Huda, but Tani Tana Kribi Meir. But lo and behold, he passed like Rabbi Meir. So Mishum de Svega Kribi Huda, Mandatani Kribi Meir Mashtikle, just because he held like Rabbi Huda, someone who taught like Rabbi Meir, he would silence him. We should be more open to dissenting views. Vaud Misam like Rabbi Huda. Did he really hold like Rabbi Huda? Vamar Rav Chanan, Bar Ami, Kimura Lahu Rav, Le Talmide, Mura Lahu Kribi Meir. When he passed him for his Talmidim, in the yeshiva, he passed like Rav Meir. V'chi darish bepirka, darish Rav Yehuda. Mishum ame haaretz. When he darshened outside, he would paskin like Rav Yehuda because of the ame haaretz. So you see that he, in fact, paskins me'ikra, didn't like Rav Meir. Why would he silence one, therefore, who was passing like Rav Meir? So just, we took a moment to pause in the discussion over here, that it sounds like, according to Rav, we pass in Rav Meir, and that's how Tosis inferred from this Gemara. However, we saw the Rambam pass in Rav Yehuda, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Meikra didn't like Rav Yehuda, you have to wait till Matzah Shabbos. We said, though, that B'Shas Achak, one could be Meiko, like Rav Meir, that you could even have the food if you cook B'Shoyeg on Shabbos, and we discussed what's Shas Achak, right? But it sounds like the food is only Aser Bachila. But then we saw, if you have the sheet from last time, from different places, it sounds like we're even dealing with an Iser Hana. The Mishnah says, "Myself the Shrumis, if you tovel a kli on Shabbos, you can't benefit from that kli. Who's cooking anything? No one's eating anything. You tovel the kli, which you're not supposed to do on Shabbos. Nira kemisakin kli. It looks like you're fixing something that was broken. You're not allowed to enjoy the kli. Or if you cook one on Shabbos, you're not allowed to even bathe in the water, let alone drink from it. So it sounds like here we are dealing with not only an Isser Achila, it's an Isser Hana. You are not allowed to derive benefit from any benefit that you created be Isser on Shabbos. Any benefit you created be Isser on Shabbos. So if you created a benefit be Isser, that's a person lit a light in the room, the Shegeg. You're really not supposed to then use the light, right? If a Nachri did it for you, you are probably also not allowed to use the light, unless you could have done the activity in the room without the light. But if you could have done the activity in the room without the light, then the Nachri really didn't help me. But if I couldn't have read in this room without the light, that the Nachri turned on, then let's say the Nachri sees me reading in the room, and he turns on the light, then I'm really, but I was already reading there, it just made it easier, you can stay. But if he turns it on for you, and you couldn't read there previously, you're really not supposed to use the light. So too, certainly if I do it by accident, you're not supposed to use it on Shabbos. So it's not only Isra Achila, it's Isra Hanoa. Anytime I create a form of benefit that wasn't previously available, but I did it be Isra and Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from it, yeah.
Then
it's Muta. Amilu and Achri is Muta
b'makom. Then after you use it for your own benefit,
is that okay? Yes. But if it's, but it has to be Tzarche Tzibor. If it's Tzarche Mitzvah, because there's one opinion that for mitzvah, we could be mekel on amir or nachri. We don't paskin that way. That was the opinion of the Bala Eter, because the Gemara says in Masechta this gittin, nevches, koz v'no av oino afil b'shabbos. If a person has an opportunity to buy land in Eretz Yisrael, we would even make the sale on Shabbos. And you can even write a deed. So who's writing the deed? A non-Jew clearly is writing the deed. Oh, but aren't you violating amir or nachri? So so some say, you see from here, amir or nachri is mutter b'makom mitzvah. Others feel that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Bris Milah, there are certain mitzvahs that are above and beyond other regular mitzvahs, and we could even be Megal Miro Nachri. That's how we typically pass it. But not B'makom any old mitzvah. But there was one opinion that Miro Nachri is always Mutter B'makom Mitzvah. We don't pass it that way. But if it's B'makom Tzibor, If it's a mitzvah derabim, it's called, something that applies to the community, so then we could be make like the Baal Eitz. That's what all the shuls rely on, that they have the Shabbos guy working in the shul. Anyway, kitzamaisa, but if I create, even inadvertently, a new avenue of hana that didn't previously exist, and I did it be'isar and Shabbos, you're not allowed to enjoy it. Ah, but the Gemara said in Bava Kama, let's look back at Ois Vav and the sheet from last time. But the Gemara said that Maisa Shabbos, if you did something be'isar and Shabbos, it's only Yosef Achila, it's not Yosef Ba'ana, but we just saw Mishnayos, that it is Yosef Ba'ana. So Shlomo Zalman distinguishes, no, what it means is the following. So Shlomo Zalman, the Mincha Shlomo, he says, no, like this. If I couldn't have previously enjoyed it in this way, without doing the malach on Shabbos, then I can't enjoy it on Shabbos, even if it's not just eating. If, though, let's say, I cooked food on Shabbos, I cooked water, I can't bathe in the water. But would you say, because I cooked it on Shabbos, I can't get another benefit from the food, even though it has nothing to do with what I did on Shabbos? Meaning, do we say that this item becomes like Isurei Hana, that I can't enjoy it in any way, shape, or form, even if it has nothing to do with the activity that I did on Shabbos? No, it doesn't become Isurei Hana. It's not like Kodesh. If you remember, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler said, that what is the source for this halacha of Maaseh Shabbos is not only a din d'rabbanan, a penalty for violating Shabbos, a din d'oraisa, because the pasuk says Shmaya Maaseh Shabbos ki kodesh, you should keep Shabbos because it's holy. Ma kodesh asa ba'achila of Maaseh Shabbos asa ba'achila. So then he asks him, well, isn't Maaseh Shabbos also isn't kodesh asa ba'ana? Maaseh Shabbos also be asa ba'ana? He said, no, the pasuk says ki kodesh lochem, it belongs to you. What it means is, if this form of benefit had nothing to do with what you did on Shabbos, so hekdesh is asa in all forms of benefit. Maaseh Shabbos is not asa in all forms of benefit. It's only also to enjoy it if the way that you're enjoying it didn't previously exist, so you've not done any so, right? So let's say I want to bathe in the water on Shabbos. I couldn't have done it if it was cold. You can't do it now that you cook the water on Shabbos. Even though that's not eating, that's hana. But if I want to use the water for something else, nothing to do with the fact that it's hot, the water's not aser b'ana. Let's say I would bathe in the, I'd wait for it to cool down. Then you could bathe in the water, right? It would only be aser if I enjoyed it because it's hot. Like they would cool down, would be permitted. Okay, fine. However, there is, if that's the case, though, we have a problem. We have a problem. Because look at the Rambam. Turn the page from last sheet from last time. The Rambam says, if you heated something be'isar on Shabbos, even after it cools down, you can't have it. Why? We just got to say, Maaseh Shabbos is, you're not allowed to enjoy that which I created on Shabbos because I'm creating a new avenue of Hana that didn't previously exist, and I only got there through illicit means, right? Through illegal avenues of violating Shabbos. What if I wait till it cools down? I'm not enjoying that which I did on Shabbos be'isar. It's not Shalom Yehei Chayitei Niskar. I'm not benefiting from that which I did. Wait till it cools down. The Rama says, though, even after it cools down, you still can't have it. You can't ask an Andrew to heat it up. And if you did, the Masakain, also the Akla, I feel it signing. Why? It's cold. Not benefiting anything. Yeah? So Shlomo Zalman is forced to say the following Chiddush. And we'll see the Mishnah Berurah supports it. Shlomo Zalman is forced to say that yes, it's not Asa Ba'ana. But when you cook on Shabbos, only cooking. See, all malachas, if you did on Shabbos, you're not allowed to enjoy the benefits of that which you did. If it has nothing to do with that which I did, it's permitted. You can enjoy it. You can enjoy the water. If it would come to do with rechitza, you can enjoy it after it cooled down. That's true. What we're saying here is, though, when you cook on Shabbos, it becomes macholos asurois. And it's prohibited forever. Or at least, as long as it's prohibited in all forms, even after it cools down. As long as it's still Shabbos, right? After Shabbos, it would be permitted, if you pass on Kribi Huda, or Mevezid, it might be Asali Olam. But when you cook on Shabbos, it's not just you're not allowed to benefit from that which you did. Chazal rendered it as Macholos Asuros, as trey food, as long as it's still Shabbos, or as long as the penalty lasts. That's why it's also even after it cools down. So there's really two parts to the Gzeira of Maaseh Shabbos. One is, it's also to benefit from that which you did. And eating is a form of benefit no different than using a kli that you tabled. Or washing in hot water that you boiled. But then, Chazal did a little bit even more. Why is it always phrased in the term of Hama Vashel B'Shabbos? I don't think the Gemara ever talks about a person who weaves a bag on Shabbos, or the person who builds a house on Shabbos. The Gemara only talks about Hama Vashel B'Shabbos, says Shlomo Zalman, because when you cook on Shabbos, Chazal added more. It's not only not to benefit from that which you did, they labeled it as Macholos Asuros, like trey food. So much so, now we understand where the Mishnah Berurah comes from. Where the Mishnah Berurah over here quotes from Rashba. We'll go over here. Oisir Beis. Kasam Hagadah from B'Shem Rashba. Degama Kedera Shavisho Bo B'Shabes Asura Loi Levashol Bo Neshi Belua. Midvar HaIsaloi. If you cook on Shabbos, you can't use those kelim during the week either. They're treif kelim. Right? Treif plates, treif pots. Why? V'davka Mavashol Lebari V'Vashol Lechay. If you cook for Chayla, of course you can use it. You did it beheter. But if you did it beiser, you can't even use it during the week. If a bakery is open on Shabbos, you can't eat from their kelim during the week. If they're owned by non-Jews, you can. Right? If there's a hashgacha service. Because they didn't violate Shabbos. But if they violated Shabbos as a Jewish baker, and he violated Shabbos, baking on Shabbos, you can't eat from his stuff during the week either. The pots are treif. Why are the pots treif? Why should it be treif? Shlomo Zalman says, because it must be when Chazal established this zera penalty of cooking on Shabbos. They did it, they said even more than they normally did. Normally they said you can't benefit at all from that which you did, but it's only if you benefited from that which you did. If you, it's a side benefit, something nothing to do with that which you did on Shabbos, be permitted. Here, Chazal labeled it as Machalos Asura. So even during the week you can't enjoy it. Yeah.
Is there a way to untreif it?
You're saying that's in kasherit.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, if you do tshuva, you can kasher it. But you would need to kasher it. It's like you cook treifin. Soloveitchik was lenient on the pots. So I remember when Chaim Ilson, do you even know who Chaim Ilson is anymore?
No. The
yeshiva. Yeah, he used to have yeshiva, yeah. Never, because his wife passed away. But he was one of the main talmidim of Soloveitchik. After his wife passed away, the yeshiva fell apart. But he's one of the main talmidim of Soloveitchik. He's a brilliant magachia. He's entertaining. He's hilarious. So when he was under the radar for a long time. He wasn't really. And then in the mid '90s, he wanted to open a yeshiva for like Americans, you know, finishing high school, for like, you know, everyone. Oh, top. Okay, fine. So he came here in order to do that. He came here to kind of promote the fact that he was opening his yeshiva. So he was giving shiurim all over the place. So he came first to Moshe Koho, like the two summers before he opened. Then I remember he came here to yeshiva. Packed. The entire annex of the cross was packed. I remember he picked on Rabbi Blau. Anyway, it was funny. It's hilarious. The guy's hilarious. Hilarious. He doesn't try to be funny. That's what's funny. Anyway, he said he came to Marsha Koho and he said, I want to say over something from the Rav. He said, but I saw it printed somewhere. It wasn't said properly. I would like to tell you how my Rebbe said it over, how it should be properly said over. What was he talking about? So if you knew what he was talking about, he was saying over Shtickle from Nefesh HaRav. He didn't like the way the Rishachter wrote it. So he said it. I'm going to tell you what he really said. Anyway, Kitzamaisa. He was saying over this bar. He said over this bar. And he said it differently than Rishachter writes in the Nefesh HaRav. What he said, Soloveitchik meant, when he didn't accept this Rashba, the Magen Avraham quotes, he says, because if you look at the Rashba says it's treated as Macholas Asuras. He says, who does that make sense according to? Why should we treat something you cooked on Shabbos as Macholas Asuras? Who does that make sense according to? Does it make sense according to a mayor or Yehuda that this is a Din D'Rabbanan, a penalty? Because it's a penalty that you're not allowed to enjoy that which you did on Shabbos, we're going to treat it as treif food? Why should we treat it as treif food on Tuesday? What's it to do with that which you did on Shabbos? You're not allowed to enjoy that which you did on Shabbos. So he says, no. Who does it make sense to say that we should treat it as treif food according to? According to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. So he says, if you look in the Rashba says that yes, according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, if you cook on Shabbos, you can't have it during the week. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, where do we derive Maaseh Shabbos from? Not a penalty because you violated Shabbos and it's ill-gotten gains. It's rather because the pasuk says, "Vishmadim as a Shabbos ki kodesh, keep Shabbos because it's holy." Maaseh ma kodesh also ma'achila. Shabbos also ma'achila. So then the Gemara even asks, it should be also about Hanah. It's a din d'oraisa. So it's a din d'oraisa. The Gemara even asks, it should be also about Hanah. So then we thought, okay, then it's Macholos Asuras. If you cooked in the pots are also during the week. According to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, this is a din d'rabbanan not to benefit that which you did on Shabbos. What does that have to do with other forms of benefit? Why should we treat it as Macholos Asuras? It only makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. So the second part of that which Shlomo Zalman says, you see from this Mishnah Berurah, the Rav rejected. So that only makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. And all the sources that say that are only according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. We paskin that it's also a penalty, either like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Meir. Either you have to wait for Motzei Shabbos, or perhaps even Mutar on Shabbos itself, but it's focused on benefiting from that which you did the Easter on Shabbos, not that it becomes Macholas Asura, it's because you cooked it on Shabbos. That only makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. We don't pass like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. However, it's against Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah demonstrated, you see from here, that Chazal had two parts of the Isar, minus the Shabbos, and was that second part. You know, that one part, you're not to benefit from that which you did, which applies to all malachas, and that when it comes to Bishul, Chazal labeled it as Machos Asuris according to everyone. He rejected that. He felt that only makes sense according to the Yochanan Sanhedrin. All right. Anyway, something else, though, happened here in this Gemara, which is shocking. Shocking. I feel you're shocked as well. But no, it's shocking. What happened? Rav lied, right? I mean, let's call it out. Let's call a spade last week's parashah. What's going on over here? Rav in the Beis Medrash. Beinenu. We're going to paskin like Rav Meir. There's kulis over here for card-carrying members of the Beis Medrash. Yeah. Cook them Shabbos. Not such a big deal. You can have a peshoigig. Oh, you get out into the tzibur, into the shul. Now all of a sudden we change the psak? Isn't that a lie? So sometimes we're machmir on something and we're only mako. You know, b'shas ha'chak, that's one thing. Okay, we really paskin like, Rav Shechter always likes to quote from the Ramah, whenever we're mekel b'shas ha'chak, that means we really paskin, it's mutter, just we're machmir, you know, for the covet of the other Rishonim who disagreed. So we mekel b'shas ha'chak because we really hold it's mutter, we're machmir because of the covet of the other Talmidei Chachamim. But over here, Rav Meir would actually paskin l'chatchila, and yeshiva was permitted. How could he lie when he gets out into the community? What is this lying business? What's going on over here?
Let's say there's other times in halacha where we just
we
like,
lie,
not lie, but we will say let's say like the shofar, like we won't, like this is the halacha, but like don't go spreading this around.
That's not what he said. No one said don't popularize it. He said paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. That's a lie.
Because it's less confusing. It's like you're gonna be not sure.
So all of a sudden you put yourself above the community, and I know what's best for you. And you people, I'm gonna tell one thing, and the people who are smarter, I'm gonna tell something else. That's a little dangerous, no? How do you think that would?
On the shoulders.
Okay. I'll do you one better though. Look at this. Another lie. Everywhere, exposing lies. It's time to come clean. Transparency. Look over here. Says the Gemara Pesachim. Tanor shehesiku bekli be'arla. Doesn't come up all the time, but you have an oven which is being fueled by Arla shells. Arla, the first 3 years a fruit tree grows, the fruit from that tree is also bahana. Not only bachila, it's also bahana. And I use that as the fuel in my oven. Oh, bekashin shel kaloi hakerem. I have the chaff of kaloi hakerem, which is grapes and wheat grown together in the same field. What is the status of the food cooked in the oven? You shouldn't have done it because you're benefiting from it. You're not supposed to benefit from it. What's the status of the food? Rabbi Oimer, hapas muteris. Rabbi says the bread is fine. Chachamim Oimer, hapas asura. Chachamim say the pas is asura. We understand why it's asura, right? You're benefiting from the kalayakam, you're benefiting from the oven. Okay. Hatanya ibka. 1 minute, but we have a brisa that says the opposite. Shmuel ibka tani. Okay. Okay, Shmuel had a different version of this machlokes. Ibai Seima. Maybe I'll tell you like this. Ba'al Makasava Shmuel, who should we paskin like, Rebbe or the Chachamim? When this machlokes is Rebbe and the Chachamim, who do we paskin like? Kasava Shmuel, look, Karebi Mechave Rov, Velo Mechave Rov. If he disagrees with one of his contemporaries, we paskin like him. If he disagrees with the consensus of the Chachamim, we don't paskin like him. We paskin like the consensus. But here, Shmuel felt strongly we should paskin like Rebbe, against the consensus, the problem is if he goes out to the world and he passes like Rebbe, and he says the pas is mutar, no one's going to listen to him because we all know halacha k'Rebbe mechave rov, alo mechave rov. So what did he do? V'sover et naya ipka, I'll switch the psak, ki heikim b'neikim rabbanon yisura, so that the rabbanon will come out, he really held the psak was, it was, he had it backwards, meaning this is already the false version. This is already the phony. Rebbe was mad that the Chachamim were machmir. He passed that off so that we should pass like the Chachamim be machmir, even though the Chachamim were really the one who were mako, and Rebbe was the one who was machmir. But he felt we should pass like Rebbe. The problem is we're not going to listen to him to pass like Rebbe and be machmir because the Chachamim disagree with him. We're all going to be mako. So in order to get us, you know, to follow what he believed to be correct, he switched the views. That would be like me, saying Satmar Rebbe was against the state of Israel. You know, the Rav was pro the state of Israel. So, you know, the Rav said something against the state of Israel. I'll just say it over in the name of Satmar Rebbe. You know, something. What's going on over here? Because I knew that they. He wanted that halacha to turn out a certain way. He knew if he said it over the way it was supposed to have been, no one would have listened to him. They would have paskin like the Chachamim, not like Rebbe. So he switched the psak. The Chachamim say it's Aser. Rebbe's the one who says it's Mutter. Now we're going to paskin Aser. Which was really Rebbe's position. But if he knew if he said it over the name of Rebbe, no one would listen to us. So he said it over in the name of somebody else. Is that good enough for you? Is that a lie? Lie? No. How would that play?
Live.
On the blogs.
It's alive, but it's not a...
Is Mutter to do that?
Saves people from breaking off.
Stein said things, something is correct. I'll just say it over, and then no one's going to listen to me in yeshiva. So I say, Rav Schechter said this, and you know what? I think I even heard this from DeRoe. The camera spoke. Can I do that? Can I do that? Mutter? Mutter? I'm allowed to do that. Yeah, you've heard it because you've been here before. So look here.
No.
Says the, no, because we said it over. Look. Says the Magen Avraham. Oh, where is it? Where is it? Oh, no. Oh, it's Yud. We said it over once before. Look at the Magen Avraham. Im Shama Din. Oh, it's Yud. V'nir lo shalocha ka. I heard halacha and appears to me to be correct. Mutar lo oimer b'shem adam gadol ki hekidu l'kab l'minei. Ho, ho, ho. I can say it over. I heard such a thing. I heard this from Rav Moshe. Even though I never spoke to Rav Moshe, how would I know Rav Moshe? I can lie. Mutter. What about? What are you talking about? It's Purim. We all know how did the Nes of Purim happen? Because Achashverosh woke up in the middle of the night and he has to read from some book. In the book it said that Mordecai is the one who saved him from Plata, Bix and Viserys. How did it get in the book in the name of Mordecai? Because Esther said it over in the name of Mordecai. So from which the Gemara says this Megillah, the Rav Leviath has Vav Aleph, or his Vav, Koha Oimer, Dov, Rishem, Oimer, maybe Gula Liyalam. If you say something over in the name of the person who said it, you bring redemption to the world. So remember, talking about Esther, Lamelech, Meshay Mordechai. She said the name of Mordechai, and that's what precipitated the whole Gula. So you see, Omer, Dov, Rishem, Oimer, maybe Gula Olam. If you have to say it over in the name of the person who said it, how can you lie? Let alone the fact that you're perpetrating a lie upon the community and saying something over or not in the name of the person who said it, which is stam, an injustice. But over here, forget about that. What about just a credit issue? If you say it over the name of somebody else, you're causing the shechina to leave the world. He doesn't understand what's going on over here. Neither do I. What's going on? What's going on with all these lies, Chaver? What do you say?
Not with regards to halacha, but like this was like Aaron Zehoda, basically. Like he went from like one guy, they would tell him like this guy wants to make peace with you, and then he would tell him that this guy wants to make peace with me, you know.
And it wasn't true.
It wasn't true, right now.
Uh-huh. So what you're saying is the following. You're discussing a different concept. The Gemara Masechta Sifamos. Look over here, Oy Zion. You're allowed to lie when it comes to making the peace. Reb Nosson Omer mitzvah. I say this all the time. That's why I say this all the time. Mitzvah l'shanos b'dvar. You're allowed to lie. So people ask you things. You're supposed to lie. So whenever, if your wife, you come home late from work, so your wife, where were you? You have to, oh, I was busy, it was traffic. And then, you weren't busy, it was traffic, I was giving someone a ride, whatever I'm doing. So, but if I say that, she's going to get angry at me. So I say, oh, no, it was just traffic. So you're allowed to lie in order to keep the peace. So my wife always says, I can never believe anything you say. You're just lying to keep the peace. How do I know the truth over here? So you have to get the iPhone monitoring. Where are you at every minute? Yeah, but it's an important concept. Mitzvah l'shanos b'nei hasholem, right? Only little kids say everything that's on their mind. That's what the Gemara says in Masechta Ksubos. Someone asks you, how do I look? You look great. No one ever says, you look terrible, right? You look like you rolled out of, that's not nice. It's lying. Kadosh Baruch Hu's signature is MS. The answer is Mitzvah l'shanos b'nei hasholem. You're supposed to. That's why the Gemara says over here, Masechta Ksubos, famous Gemara, Kates Merakta Vnei Akala, Beshamari, Oimim Kala Kamoshi, I call it as I see it. That's it. If she's this, she's that. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. If you have nothing nice to say, right, say it anyway. That's Beshamari. Beshilo, Oimim Kala Nova Chasuda. No, she's beautiful, she's wonderful. I'm going to have Beshamari. Go Beshilo, Harei Shehi Chigeres, or Suma, she's a hunchback, and then I'm a Kala Nova Chasuda. But turn over, Vidvar Sheketecha. You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to not tell a lie. George Washington. What should you do? Should you make fun of it? Should you tell him it's nice? Make him feel good. Meaning, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Say what makes people feel good. Mitzvah l'shanas of Ne'al Shalom. Why is it a mitzvah l'shanas of Ne'al Shalom? So the Medrash over here, Medrash Rabbah, goes all the way back to Medrash Rabbah, the time of Bereishis. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the different kaychos of the world came to the Ribono Shel Olam with Eitzes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted the different parts of the Bria before he created the world, right? Nase Adam B'Tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. It was a group project. HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with them. He didn't need their help, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with them to teach us that you're always supposed to consult with other people before you make your decisions, even those people who are lower than you. Sometimes they offer you critical perspective. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with the Malachim in order to model this behavior for us. Of course, it wasn't necessary. So, but he consulted with Emes. Emes said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't create human beings that are full of lies. The whole world is of lies. Then Mishpat said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, create the world. People will bring justice to the world. Okay, so we had a machlekes. Then Shalom came to the world. And Shalom said to the Ribono Shel Olam, don't create the world. People are full of fights. All they're doing is fighting. And then Chesed came to the Ribono Shel Olam and said, no, create the world. People do great chesedim, right? Mikam Yisrael, there's so much chesed. So we have a machlekes, two and two. What did Ribono Shel Olam do? Hishlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes arza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw emes to the ground. Elmar emes mei ha'aretz titzmach. Emes will come from the ground. Now it's two against one, and Ribono Shel Olam created the world. We have Mishpat and Chesed overcame Shalom. That's how most interpret the Medrash. However, Reb Chaim said the Pshat in the Medrash is, Reb Shaphtah likes to quote this, that the Pshat in the Medrash is, no, emes and Shalom said we, both of us, cannot coexist. The world cannot sustain emes and Shalom at the same time. Because if you say everything that's on, that's on your mind, or that's true, or you'll have fights all the time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hishlech Emes Arza. Emes takes a back seat to Shalom. When it comes to keeping the peace, sometimes you have to compromise on Emes. You can't have Emes all the time if you want to keep the peace. People won't get along. So you have to sometimes hold your tongue, right? And not say what's on your mind. And that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to run the world. These two meters cannot exist at the same time. But that is in terms of interpersonal relationships. Here we're discussing Halacha, Torah. You're lying? The halacha is this way in Beis Medrash. When you get out to the community, say it that way. Can you imagine a Jewish week? What are they going to say about this? Mm-hmm. Or over here. We switched the psak because you people were too silly. You weren't nuanced enough. So we switched the psak. So that, really? Can you imagine the scandal if we said something in the name of the Rav? Well, the Rav never said it, never this, never that. We'll have tapes. Imagine what would happen. Terrible. It's a dangerous game. And in fact, it's Yaharig Bal Yavor. To distort the Torah, to misrepresent the Torah. You see this over here. We've seen this before. Last year, I think we saw this. The Gemara says in Maseches Bava Kamma that they sent two Roman delegations to the Jewish people to read through the Torah to see if there was something that was they found offensive. So they said, "Dikdaknu on the second line, b'chol torasecha ve'emesu. Everything is nice. Chot midav hazeh shatem aymim. Except for this inconsistency, if our shore gores your shore, we have to pay. If your shore gores our shore, you don't have to pay. That's not fair. But by the way, we're not going to inform on you. Even though you have this double standard, right? We're not going to inform on you. So Taisva says, why did they tell them this? Why didn't they just erase this from the whole discussion? If someone came to us to censor the Torah, right, or to see if the Jewish people are discriminatory against other nations of the world, would we bother telling them, oh, by the way, please write down, if your shore goes our shore, you have to pay. If we go yours, we don't have to pay. Why would you say such a thing? Why mention that? It's really not a smart idea, right? Why mention this? And by the way, lest you think their lives weren't in danger, their lives were in danger. Their lives were in danger. Otherwise, you're not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew. Tarsus is so concerned. How can you teach Torah to a non-Jew? Must be their lives were in danger. Someone is coming with a gun to your head. We want to see if you guys discriminate against non-Jews. And you're going to tell them, oh, yeah, we do, by the way. What are you doing to us? Says the Yam Shoshlem of the Marashal, you see from here that to misrepresent the Torah is itself Yaharig Val Yavor. You have to give up your life rather than do it. Their lives were in danger. Here they were coming to censor the Torah and they told them something that was offensive. Why would they do that? They had no choice. It's Yaharig Val Yavor. Well, you see a similar thing over here. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva Commenting on a Mishnah, Masechta Sarita, the Mishnah says, Agrippas, who was the grandson of Herod, took over the Malchus Yisrael for a certain period of time. So he was performing the duties of the king. One of the duties of the king is first day, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, on the year after the Shemitah year, is to come to the Beis HaMikdash and lay in certain parashas of the Torah known as Hakel. They have a zecher to this now at the Kosel, the year after the Shemitah year. Fine. He got up to the Pasuk while he was laying in the Torah. Agrippas, of course, was of questionable Jewish status. It's a discussion of the Rishonim. Was he Jewish? Wasn't he Jewish? Whatever it is. He got up to the Pasuk, Lo sucho lo seis alecha ish nochri. And then he started to cry. Zogu ein of demos. He said, oy vey, how am I in this position? I can't be a leader of the Jewish people. I'm a nochri. Amuloi, al tisra yore, Agrippas, calm down. Achinu ata, achinu ata, you're a brother. Says the Gemara, at that moment, there's a euphemism. It doesn't mean those who hate the Jews. It means those who love the Jews. The Talmidei Chachamim became chayev in destruction, in Misa, because they flattered Agrippas. Rabbeinu Yonah derives from here, flattery is Yahar Vayavar. Why? Agrippas would have killed them if they didn't flatter him. They would have said, yeah, by the way, get out. What would he have done? Would have beheaded him. Right? That would have been the nice thing he could have done. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, you see from here, flattery is Yahari Valyavar. You're not allowed to flatter people. Why is flattery Yahari Valyavar? Ramesh explains in Gris Moshe, because you are misrepresenting the Torah. Misrepresenting the Torah is known as Ziyuf HaTorah. Ziyuf HaTorah itself is Yahari Valyavar. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. That's why if there are certain topics that don't represent us well in the, you know, certain crowds, better not to discuss it, because you can't lie about it. To lie about it is misrepresenting the Torah. Okay, you know, there's no heter of eva over here when it comes to misrepresenting the Torah. Misrepresenting the Torah is misrepresenting the Torah. So you better not to discuss it b'chol if it doesn't play well. Yeah, they had no choice. They weren't allowed to lie because they were asked directly. But otherwise, chanifa is yahari v'yava. Chanifa is a very serious thing. Misrepresenting the Torah. Ramesh has shuvah. It's about honoring people in the shul who are not shomer Torah mitzvahs. It always happens. The guy who donates the most to the shul for whatever reason. He's not in my shul, present company excluded. There's always, you know, something's wrong with him. It's always. And then the shaila is, can we honor him? If we honor him, doesn't look like we're approving that which he did. And approving, we're giving the impression of approving that which he did is Zahar Gvayavo. So that's where Moshe threads the needle. Where Moshe says, no, just because you give a guy psicha, you honor him at the dinner, even though he's intermarried, doesn't necessarily mean we approve of his intermarriage. Just means that he does nice things for the Jews too. No one thinks that intermarriage is permitted, or the guy drives to shul on Shabbos but he wants to sponsor Kiddush for his birthday. No one thinks because we allow him to sponsor Kiddush for his birthday that we approve of the fact that he drives to shul on Shabbos. If they would, then it would be Yahari Vayavar. So it depends. Every Avera, every community, every situation is different. You have to know how it's going to be perceived. If it's perceived as misrepresentation of the Torah, that's Yahari Vayavar. So getting back over here, Kevra, isn't this misrepresenting the Torah? We said over here, in Beis Medrash, we pass it for mayor. You get out to the community, Rabbi Yehuda. Isn't that misrepresenting the Torah? Or, what was this? The Gemara said in Masechta Pesachim, that Shmuel, Swish the Pesach, in order so to come out like him, isn't that misrepresenting the Torah? Or the Magen Avraham who said, I could say Halacha over in the name of Versalovichik or Ramayisha, even though he never said it, in order so that they should pass it like me, isn't that misrepresenting the Torah? So I think that the answer is the following. No. Misrepresenting the Torah applies when I'm presenting the Torah, or I hope that an outcome comes out contrary to that which the din is. And it might be because of pressure that I'm receiving that I want it to be perceived as, you know, inaccurate, but I'm hoping at the end of the day, or I'm, you know, presenting it in such a way that the conclusion that one will draw is not the, you know, the proper conclusion that one should draw from the Torah. That's Yahari Vayavar. Here, if I'm a confident and qualified Pesach, then I have the right to lie in order to make sure that the Pesach comes out like me, because I, in the end of the day, hope to represent the Torah accurately. The fact that no one believed me because I'm a nobody, they don't know me, I'm a Lama Vav, you know, not me, obviously, but, you know, someone never heard of this guy, and but he knows exactly what he's talking about, then has the right to lie in order to make sure the Pesach comes out correctly, because in the end of the day, he's telling a little white lie, but he hopes to represent the Torah correctly. So just like we could be merkel on a little bit of MS in order to achieve shalom, mishanu b'nei shalom, It's a mitzvah to do so in order to achieve the peace, because we have two priorities here. We have shalom, we have emes. Emes takes a backseat to shalom. So too, emes, and who said this statement, takes a backseat into ultimately making sure we have the right conclusion. So there are two aspects of emes, but they can't coexist. I can't get across the correct psak if I say it over in the name of the person who said it, so I'm allowed to lie about who said it in order to achieve the proper psak. Meaning, here we have a contradiction in emes itself, just like the contradiction exists between emes and shalom. Emes and shalom can't exist. If you always say what's on your mind, you won't have peace. So emes takes a backseat to shalom, you're allowed to lie. Peace takes precedence. So too, the emes of making the correct conclusion takes precedence over the emes of who said it. So perhaps we can say over here as well, that Rav knew the community, and he knew that if he said over the psak of a mayor, people were going to be more lenient than they were entitled to do. In the yeshiva, he knew that it would be able to be enforced. In the community, if he said over like Rav, people were going to start cooking on Shabbos. So therefore, he wasn't trying to get across a conclusion that wasn't correct. He was hoping to maintain the standard of what was correct. Like sometimes you have to go a little bit all the way over here with the community in order to make sure that they end up over here. Right? Sometimes it's go a little bit far in order to make sure that they end up at the happy medium. That's in terms of, you know, politics within the community. So Rav was just politicking within the community. He never hoped for a result that was different than was the Etzem Halacha. And sometimes we have the right to lie. We have the right to misrepresent things in order to achieve the desired result, which hopefully is MS, right? So you have two priorities of MS, to teach the community the proper thing and also have the proper result. Sometimes they're not able to have both. So sometimes you have to teach the community one thing in order to get the proper result in the end. Let me understand. I think that's the issue over here. Okay. Fun topic. But now let's get back. Okay. Where were we? V'kidarsh v'pir kadarsh k'bi Yehuda. So, he said, "What? No one's listening to the guy who's actually speaking. All they're listening to is the Meturgam. And why do you have to silence the guy who was speaking?" So, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who was passing like Rameir. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Tana, Shoychet, Tana Kameh, because he said Shoychet, meaning implying that you could do this L'chadchila, that you could Shecht on Shabbos. V'Tana Kameh Derav, Ha Shoychet B'Shabbos B'Shoychet Yerach B'Meizel Lo Yochos. He was correcting him that it's not Shoychet. You could do this lechatchila. It's hashoyched if you did it b'di'evin b'shogeg. Tana kamei derav hashoyched b'shabes b'shogeg yochel b'mezel lo yochel. I'm like my datko k'rabbi Meir. I come like k'sharim Meir over mavashel. I'm sorry. Okay, one second. So I'm Rav Nachman Tana hashoyched because he said you could do lechatchila. Now the Gemara is going to transition. No, we're going back to the Mishnah that we started with, which was hashoyched, not mavashel. So Tana kamei derav hashoyched b'shabes b'shogeg yochel b'mezel lo yochel. If you shechted on Shabbos, you can have it on Shabbos if you did it b'shogeg, but mezid you can't. I'm like my dafka, Karebi Meir. Well, just like a mayor held, you can have the food that you cooked on Shabbos. You can, if you did it b'shogeg, you can have it on Shabbos itself. So to the shkita, I'd come like a shari mayor, but mavashel. But mayor only said it's not muksa because it's cooking. Deroy lakus. Everyone know what we're going back in the mission. The mission said if you shecht on Shabbos, that it's b'shogeg. Then the meat is permitted. But the Gemara said, according to Yehuda, you have to wait till tomorrow. According to Meir, you can even have it today. The Gemara is asking, according to Meir, you can't have it today. Meir only allowed you to have it today by cooking because it's not muksa since you couldn't have eaten it raw. But the Mishnah, which is talking about Shkita, so then the animal coming into Shabbos was muksa. From Rav Huna, Darish, Rav Chia, Bar Rav, Mishmei, the Rav, Asura, Bachil, Yoma, Venazman, Chavri, Lomema, Rabbi Hudahi. Harabi Meir, Shari. So it sounds like from here, Rabbi Meir would even allow the animal, which cannot be eaten raw, coming into Shabbos. But isn't it muksa? So Gemara says, why is it? So the Gemara's question is, why isn't it muksa? According to Rabbi Meir, too. And you shouldn't be allowed to have it bovi yom on Shabbos. So Kishari, Rabbi Meir, kagon shahilo choyle mi bod yom. No, it's because we're talking about going into Shabbos, you have a choyle in the house. In which case, I might have shuffled the animal, so it's not muksa. Ihochi. If that's the case, there's a choyle in the house. My time is Rabbi Huda. Why does Rabbi Huda hold its muksa? Of course I might have shechted it on Shabbos for the chayla. So Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, I knew it wasn't muksa. Kigoyen chayla, chayla behivri, because he was a chayla, and then he got better. So Rabbi Huda holds it, goes back to its status of muksa. And Rameir holds it remains permitted. Kihod amar av acha bar adha amar rav amrila. Amar av yisra bar adha amar rav. Hashayka le chayla b'shabbos, asa le bari. If you shechted for a chayla on Shabbos, a healthy person can't eat it. If you cook the pot of chicken soup for a chayla on Shabbos, you can't eat it. My time up.
What's the reason for this? Hai roi lokus, v'hai roi lokus. Because the food that you cooked on Shabbos was not muksa, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, it was edible, could be eaten raw. The animal that you shot on Shabbos was also Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, because it was muksa. So Amar Papa, Pavim Shah Shoykeit Mutter, Kigon Shahai Lo Choylo Mi Baidyon. Sometimes, even for the Shoykeit, if you shot an animal for Choylo on Shabbos, it would be permitted for a non-Choylo. Where the Choylo was here before Shabbos, we knew before Shabbos, going into Shabbos, it was going, you know, we might use it, so it's not Moksa Mavashel, and something's called Mavashel, where it's also, where it's not edible raw. Kigon Shekotis Lo Delas. No one eats a raw gourd. So it wasn't edible Friday going into Shabbos. So if I cook it for the Choylo on Shabbos, I can eat it on Shabbos. So Amar Abdimi, okay. So sometimes it'll be muksa, sometimes it won't be muksa, depending on the case. Is there a chayil in the house, not a chayil in the house? Okay, so we got the story with Shaykhet B'Shabbos. We got the story with Shaykhet B'Shabbos. Sometimes it'll be muksa, according to Meir. It might also be muksa unless you have a chayil in the house. What if the chayil was there? And then it got better. That was a machlokes or Meir, maybe he could go. Okay. But now the Gemara goes on. Hilkasa. Hashaykhet L'chayil B'Shabbos, Mutal Bari Ba'umsa. Point out, a person chefs for chayil on Shabbos, a bari can eat it raw. My time, huh? Cave in the Ezra Kazai is both below Shkita. You didn't do anything extra for the bari. You can't get a Kazai above without shechling a whole animal. There's no mini animal, right? I guess the capons, right? You don't have this. My time, the cave in the Ezra Kazai is below Basa, below Shkita. Ki Kashachit, I died to the Chayla Kashachit. So I'm shechling for the Chayla, but the other people can eat it too. Hamavash or the Chayla B'Shabbos, also the bari. If you cook for a Chayla on Shabbos, the bari can't eat it. Why not? Gzer Hashem Yara Bishviloi. I might cook more for the bari. I might cook more for the bari. This comes up, by the way. Hospitals, there's food being cooked all the time for chaylan. Then you have someone visiting with him. The chaylan doesn't want it. Can the other guy eat it? You could have such a situation. So you can't eat from the food that was cooked for the chaylan, but you can't eat from the animal that was shechted for the chaylan. What's the difference? Chayla, because it's shechita, yashu kazayis basa v'lo shechita. You can't get a kazayis without shechting the whole animal. Bishol, gzei v'shem yavi b'shvila. I might cook more for the chayla. I might cook more, what do you mean cook more? Cook again? Or cook more in the pot? Cook again or cook more in the pot? Put more in the pot? If we're talking about putting more in the pot, why is that different than shechting the animal? I shecht an animal, has many kizeis and mabasar in the animal. I need one for the chaylet, the rest the bari can have. So if I cook a huge pot of chicken soup, why can't I cook a huge pot of chicken soup and have the chaylet will have some of it and the bari will have the rest? Why not? What's the difference between that and shechita?
I needed to do one.
Huh?
The shechita said that you just do one action. Chicken soup, I could have made less, I could have made more.
I could have shechted a bigger animal, a smaller animal.
But it all would be, in order to have even a little bit for the chola.
I could have shechted a capon. I don't know, is that a real animal? These little capons they serve?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about? These like little chicken capons? I think that's like a little chicken. I could have shechted a little chicken. I shechted a whole behemoth gasa. Now the whole block is eating it. So says the Ran. The Ran discusses this issue. This is what's known as riboy b'shiurim. I am allowed to do a malach on Shabbos for a chola. Can I do it in greater quantity than is necessary? So the Ran says, "Ika l'meidok midi boilam beperek Rebbe Yishmael b'menaches." Let's say a chayla needs a gregaris. I think that's a date, right? Fig, it's a fig. Correct. Just checking. Chayla should have to say gregaris, right? It's a fig. No, you're right. It's a fig. A tain is a date. No, tamar is a date. Gregaris is a fig. Yeah, it's a fig. V'ika shtei gregaris b'shtei uksin. Listen to this case. There's two figs. Fig. We have two figs on two separate branches. Another branch has three figs. Hai maisinon, which one do we bring? Shtai maisinon. The chazinlei, odilma shalosh maisinon, the kamen malik bibitzira. Do we bring two? Because that's all I really need. But they're on two separate branches. Or do I cut off the one branch that has three? Because it's only one branch. You hear the dilemma? Do I cut off two separate branches? Because there's one fig on each branch, and that's what I need. I need two figs. Or do I cut off the branch that has three figs? Because that's less cutting. Dilemma. What do I do? Vasikna says the Gemara Masechtas Menachos, the shalosh maisinon, shtayim lo maisinon. Mishum de me'uti be'betzira adif.
cutting off less is better. Va'ad kan lo iboilon. There the whole shayla was only where there's two cuttings off. What if I had one branch with two figs? One branch with three figs. Can I cut off the one branch with three figs if I only need two figs? Two figs, three figs, three figs, one. It sounds like a nursery rhyme. But can I cut off the branch that has three figs if all I need is two figs? Or is that not mutter? Same thing, it's called rivoy b'shiurim. I'm allowed to do a malach on Shabbos. Can I do it in greater quantity than is necessary? Says the Ran, no! Okay, I got the b'shtayim b'shnei uksin ikar rivoy b'tzira. It's only because I have a counter concern of cutting off more branches than is necessary. Avamash with the pshito on the shnayim b'alikitz echav v'shalosh b'alikitz acher. If I have two on one and three on the other, the shtayim b'aisinon, shalosh b'aisinon, the rivoy b'shiurim, usher. You cannot cut off more than you need. Push it. So therefore, can I cook a bigger pot of soup than I need? No. No. But a minute. But can I shecht a bigger animal than I need? Sounds like yes. What's the difference? So the Rashba Moisef to Lord Mitzah Amid Rabbanon. The Rashba therefore concluded all of Riva Mishum is only Asim Amid Rabbanon. Came into the yant of Shari Hasim Gabi Milu Mishum Motzi Hate. Okay, the whole thing is only the Rabbanon. Mechal the Sfira Izal the Riva Mishurim B'Shabbos on Mitzah Amid Rabbanon. The whole thing is only Hasim Amid Rabbanon. But Mahani Alem, he says, no, this is a Din Daraisa. Dim Kain Mai Kami Bagan Hasim Amid Ochas. Pshita the Shalos Mai Sinon. Three Vishiyurim, well, of course you bring three then, because Riva Vishiyurim will Mitzah Amid Rabbanon. Riva Bitsira Mitzah Amid Daraisa. Two branches is clearly worse than one branch with three figs. If Riva Vishiyurim is only Hasim Amid Rabbanon, clearly, then one branch with three figs is better than two branches. So says the Ran, we must be dealing with the Din Daraisa, the Eilam Du, the Gregaris F. Of course it's the Din Daraisa. It's Din Daraisa. So then we have a problem. So therefore, Estim and Chaskin, Chan the Ran, Vinei Hikshali Aaron, the Sova Riva Bishiurim, who is the Daraisa, Riva Bishiurim is an Isma Daraisa, do things in greater quantity. Therefore, if you have a branch with three figs, you should not, you're not allowed to cut it off when you have a branch that has available, one branch available with two figs. And if you have a pot of chicken soup that you're cooking for chayla, you can't cook a bigger pot of chicken soup. And that's why the Gemara says, "Gzer shem yarav b'shvilo." A bari can't even eat from that which a chayla had because we're afraid you might put more in the pot for the bari. When I see that there's other people here, I say, once I'm cooking for the chayla, let me cook for the bari too, and that will be a malacha d'iraisa. But then, how can I cook a shecht, a bigger animal than is necessary? Davi ribushirim kamo shalosh ay kizecha davi chad malacha. The server says, he says the Mechasinach according to the Rajba that it believes Riba Bishir Eino Amid Rabbanon. And what is the fear by Bishol? Shema Yar Bishvilo Achashi Sachin Ekedeo Shala Eishu Isu Skila, that I might put another pot of soup up on the fire for the Bari. Not that I'm going to cook more in the pot, but according to the Ran, that you're going to cook more in the pot. What is that different than Shechita, where I'm shechting a huge animal? I only need a Kazai's Bas of Shechit. What about Shaykhay? That's the Kash and the Chasino Ches and the Ran. Again, you hear the question? When it comes to Ketzira, you clearly cannot cut off the branch that has more figs than is necessary. When it comes to cooking, you cannot cook even in the same pot more than is necessary. How come when it comes to Shkita, Keshach to bigger animals is necessary? We'll have to leave that for tomorrow. Big answer. All the Achronim say the same answer, which means that it's certainly correct. So we'll have to get to that answer tomorrow. The Har Tzvi, I asked you to see, the Stipler, all of them say the same. Terence, we'll have to get to that tomorrow. In a minute, we're going to go on to Shechting with your nail. Exciting discussion.